A bill approved by the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee would change the way agencies handle more than $600 billion in yearly grant spending. For more on what the Grant Reform and New Transparency Act would do, we turn to Terry O'Connor, Director of Government Contracts at the law firm Baron Zweig Leonard. And Terry, the idea of grants is actually exceeds what they spend on contracting, correct?
Yeah, that's surprising. I'll bet 10-15% more federal money goes into grants than goes into procurement of contracts. And so it's surprising, the large dollar amount of grant funding that the federal government gets involved in.
And yet the rules for grants are totally separate from those for contracting.
They're separate, but there's an awful lot of similarity. In fact, that's the part that, as a former government employee, that I really like. In fact, I'm director of government contracts at the law firm, but there is so much information from the procurement side that applies to grants and vice versa, and I think that's one of the nice differences. Legally, of course, they're different. A grant is a public purpose that pretty much serves what the a grantee wants to do, carry out government purposes, but the way the grantee wants to do it. Contracting is when the government buys something, you know, flat outright. But there is still, even currently, and also in the proposed bill, which I think seeks to reinforce what's in the current regs, an awful lot of equivalency, in the sense that some of the procurement rules are going to apply to grants and vice versa.
All right, you've looked at this bill. What are some of the things you think are most significant for the way federal agencies and grant officials will have to operate?
Good. Well, the debriefing requirement is a good one, I think. In contracts, there is a debriefing requirement, and when contractors spend a lot of time putting together a proposal and they lose, it's just common courtesy to tell them, you know, why they lost. So this bill requires a debriefing to an unsuccessful applicant for a grant, and I think that's, again, that's sort of common courtesy when people have spent so much time and effort putting together a grant application.
But it's not something agencies do. It's not something agencies do now in grants, correct?
Not necessarily. No, I mean they could as a courtesy, certainly. And if a grant agency wants to keep an applicant available for future work, I think it's smart for grant agencies to, as a courtesy, to give a debriefing. This bill would make it a requirement. For grants over $100,000 for larger grants, and that's I think that's a good idea.
And you also say that the bill would affect the size of the grants workforce.
Yes, I think that's the, again, as a former government employee, that's what I like. We have to keep focusing on the workforce. We have a lot of government employees that are working very hard, and here we have one more burden put on them. So one of the requirements of the act is that there a study be done of the grants workforce and require GAO to report on the size of the workforce, trends, those kinds of things. That's a wonderful, I think, emphasis on the number of federal employees that we have working on grants and procurement, government contracts, is getting stretched very thin. And so this part of the bill, actually one of the things I think is most favorable, certainly to government employees. And also, I think it's a lot of the information that they have as government employees and grants can be now transferable to procurement, government contracts, and vice versa again.
Now, in the contracting side, there are contracting officers who have the sole ability to obligate federal funds. On the grant side, mm-hmm. where you have more subject matter expertise that's tied to what the grant topic might be, are there separate grant awarders separate from the program people also?
Correct. Yeah. You know, good point. Yeah, there are grants officers, which to me are the equivalent of a contracting officer in the sense that the grants officers have the authority to administer it. But also you have the technical people who, just like in contracts, you have a contracting officer's representative. So the subject matter experts. So I think it's a very analogous structure, administrative and technical and separate people.
We're speaking with Terry O'Connor, Director of Government Contracts at the law firm Baron Zweig Leonard. And the GAO report that would be required by this bill 6 months after the bill becomes enacted, would talk about the grant's workforce and whether training that's available for contracting people should or could be available for grants people.
Yeah, and I think that's they're sort of making that a high outside pitch. Clearly, a lot of the information that the grants people are now working with, or even in the future will be working with if this bill passes, is very transferable, as I said. That's a nice advantage, I think, for government employees, being able to go from one to the other.
And in the case of contractors, there is the concept of past performance, and you can ask for performance that a contractor might have had at another agency, or you can evaluate the performance they've had at your own agency. Does a similar type of process exist for grants to see who delivered on what they should?
It's more so, I think, in contracts than in grants. The grant process allows for a risk analysis that the granting agencies are supposed to make a risk analysis. And if a grantee violates the law, there is a suspension and debarment process, just like there is in procurement. So there's, very similar kinds of checking out whether the applicant that's trying to use the federal money will do so properly and not misuse it. So that there are checks and balances available in the grants process.
What about award protests? Can would-be grantees also protest awards?
Well, that's a great question, and probably not. The grants that are going out don't have any profit, right? A lot of times they go to nonprofit organizations. And so one of the beliefs in the business is that because there is no profit at stake, that there won't be that many protests when applicants do not win a federal grant. We'll see how that actually happens. But typically, there isn't much to fight for when a grantee loses the grant.
Well, there might be continuance of that particular cell or department at an academic institution.
Oh, that's for sure. My sense, though, is that the academic institutions, from my experience, have been very well qualified. Colleges and universities and some of the larger nonprofits, from my experience, get really high-quality people.
The main point of this bill, though, to get back to the Grant Reform and New Transparency Act, or GRANT, great acronym, is to try to make more transparency to the public in where grant money is going and who is getting grants. That seems to be something that has been long overdue.
It has, and to some extent, the language in the bill parrots, actually, some of the existing language in the what they call the super circular that OMB passed or adopted about a year or so ago. In fact, some of the language in the proposed bill actually cites parts of the OMB super circular regulations, and it looks like they're simply trying to get a statutory basis for some of these regulations, so you can't change them. Can't have a federal agency change them. But I think some of the material in the act is pretty much already in place. But there are some great advantages and some great advances, I think, that the bill puts out, like the debriefing and the workforce study. I think those are two critical improvements.
Terry O'Connor is Director of Government Contracts at the law firm Baron Zweig Leonard. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thanks, Tom. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.